Hello and welcome to the award-winning Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with me, Craig Hazel, FPL expert Ash Kernsworth.
Ahoy.
And sadly, no Tom Holmes. He's in Clacton on holiday, as regular listeners will know. For new listeners, Tom is the, I was about to say the Carl Pilkington of the podcast, but sadly he's beaten us both at FPL. But we will plough on without him, and later on, as promised last week and on Twitter, we will have Ryan from Fantasy Yurma, one of the biggest fantasy football blogs and social accounts, coming on to give us some much needed credibility in FPL given our current standings. But yeah, game week 35 is over. It was a short one, which is weird for this time of year. And it might have been, Ash, the most boring week of football known to man.
The most boring thing to ever happen to the world.
It was pretty bad, to be fair. Like, did you even watch Match of the Day?
Oh, I was so gutted. I got up on, it was Bank Holiday Monday, wasn't it? And I busy Sunday, so I didn't watch any of the football and didn't see any of the results. Got up Saturday morning, Monday morning. I was like, nice, I'm going to sit down and watch Match of the Day Extra, what it's called, Match of the Day 2.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on iPlayer. The only thing that was on there was Match of the Day 1. I turned it on. First game, 0-0. Second game, 0-0. Ah, kill me. The worst.
I think Gary Lineker tweeted, it's the first time that Match of the Day's ever started with a 0-0.
It's terrible.
Pretty bad. He always tweets the running order and gets a load of stick off people. But yeah, so it was, I think it's the first time ever it's a 0-0. But it was pretty bleak, unless, of course...
Yeah, it was not very exciting.
You had, it was one of those, even if you had defenders from teams and you were getting clean sheets, you were like, do you know what? I'd lose the 5 points just to see something happen on Soccer Saturday.
So I intellectually got rid of Vardy in place of Aguero.
Right.
And then, so I was pretty pleased when all the games were 0-0, apart from Leicester, who had scored.
I know, yeah. It was, I mean, saying that, I mean, Aguero got points. He still racked up 12 points, but I was with you. I mean, we said it loads last week. I thought it was a week where if you've got nothing to play for, it might be over. And to be fair, that some of the results did reflect that. When you look at, you know, Stoke, West Ham, 0-0, you probably could have guessed that no one was really trying a leg there. Can they be asked? I don't know, but it's one of those, even though there's clean sheets, there's no one in their right mind would have a West Ham defender. So it's a bit of a bizarre one. Elsewhere, obviously, Southampton drew 0-0 with Hull, and Jakubovic was an absolute star on a lot of people's bench.
A lot of people had him
on the bench. I think because he saved a penalty with Southampton, and that could keep them up. That could be a multi-million pound penalty save.
Is it my main man, Tadic, as well? I thought he went out for that and smashed it.
Well, I was going to ask you about Tadic because I know you like Tadic, but Southampton have 4 games in the next 2 game weeks. And although 2 of them are against Liverpool and Arsenal, I mean, you shouldn't be scared of Arsenal right now. But he seems quite tempting now, though, now for this last, if you're wild card, for instance, if you're one of those people who's still got a wild card.
Nah, Southampton just don't give a shit anymore. They've given up. And he's like had a terrible season. Like, he's had one good game week all year. Normally, he'd have, like, a few.
Yeah, a lot of people were still banking on Gabbiadini, but I'm the same as you. I thought their season's done. They've run their race. Like,
exactly. I nearly brought him in and just thought, nah, he's not going to... There's no way. So, to put it in perspective, Tadic is on 100 and... He's not even on 100. He's on 98 points.
Right.
With, what, 3 games left to play?
Yeah.
And the lowest he's ever scored is 117 previously, so he's not going to make that, I doubt.
Well, I don't know. He has got 5 games left.
Oh, they've got some extra ones, haven't they?
So maybe, but even then, you're right. He might scrape it.
Yeah. Whereas he got nearly 160 last year.
Yeah, he was a great find last year for a good sort of 10 to 12 weeks. He was a very good player. But he was a potential captain pick on some weeks.
Definitely. I thought he was going to build from there, not go backwards.
Yeah, because it's not as if they've been poor either.
No.
So it is a weird one as to why he hasn't, I don't know, why he hasn't kicked on a little bit.
He hasn't been getting the minutes. I guess he must have been injured or something. But he's played 90 in the last 6 weeks in a row. So if they had something to play for, he might be a good pick.
Yeah, they're kind of ninth in that no man's land, which is a good season, but still.
And I don't think they've got easy fixtures either, have they? They've got 5, but it's Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United in them.
Sure.
And Middlesbrough have got something to play for. So
That's the danger, isn't it? Bournemouth obviously haven't got anything to play for, but Joshua King's been phenomenal. And I'm sure he stays in everyone's squads, whether you're wildcarding or not. He got another goal again and relegated Sunderland finally. I say finally, they've been relegated a lot in our lifetimes, but it felt like they've been around too long.
Oh, definitely. There must be Newcastle fans must be fucking loving it.
Oh, it's a great couple of weeks for a Newcastle fan.
Oh, my God, 'cause all the North East clubs could go down. apart from them, who are going to come up?
Yeah, although Newcastle, I'm always like that because with Hearts, Hibs went down with us. We both went down and then we came up and Hibs have fucked it three times. They've only just managed it now. But I do miss the derby. As much as it makes me sick to my stomach, and we've actually lost the last couple in the cup the last couple of years, like Newcastle would probably see Sunderland as six easy points. So I don't think they'll struggle Newcastle next year at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to keep hold of Benitez, but yeah. But Joshua King, another goal. He could get himself a big move, couldn't he? The amount of form he's had.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. Definitely.
He's 25, I think. Or something. He's a kind of that midfield / striker. And then all of a sudden, he's one of those in his career before at Blackburn, just did very little. Maybe a few goals. I'm just looking it up now. Three goals in his Blackburn career, three league goals. And then out of nowhere, just 15 goals this season. Like, that's unbelievable.
Did he start at Man United?
Yeah, he's one of those that you'd have seen on the old, like, when you played Footy Manager and he'd have been in your reserves. Yeah, I don't think he ever played for them. But yeah, he was a Man United youth product. And then... I thought he was going to be one of those that just gets by on having once played for Man United, which is how Tom Cleverley makes a career.
Yeah, yeah, no shame, all that lot.
I swear Cleverley could walk into your company and become a managing director just for having played for Man United. He's not a Premier League. He's not a Premier League player in any way whatsoever, but somehow.
No, they've got loads of Man United had a real history. I think it's like the Ferguson factor, isn't it? Where they had loads of players who were awful, but their level was obviously raised so much higher because of Ferguson. That they're basically like someone who used to be in The Apprentice turning up at your work.
Yeah, that is it.
And then they get made your manager. He's like, oh, it's the guy off The Apprentice.
Yeah, so he was on He did get to week five on The Apprentice, so maybe we should...
Yeah, I know this guy's name.
You're right, it's not a bad thing. Hearts had we had a captain, Michael Stewart, who played a handful of games for United when they would play Champions League games when they'd already qualified. And he waltzed around the Scottish Premier League like he was too good for it. Truth is, he was shit. But he just had played for United, so he had that air of arrogance, and it works on people. Like, it's like being good at job interviews, but shit at the job. It kind of happens. But yeah, anyway, it's enough slagging off of ex-Man United players. And then we're talking about it. West Brom, Leicester, which you'd have probably... I pinned down as a 0-0 because I stuck Foster in goal over Heaton, stupidly. And Leicester win it 1-0 with Vardy. And I was convinced his race was run. I was convinced to take him out of my squad. And it looks like it was a mistake, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I had Heaton in. I was conflicted about that one.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I don't know. It's one of those I won't bring Vardy in now because I think it's a ballsy move to bring in a player who's not got anything to play for. But he still scored. And then speaking of Leicester, as Tom would like to say at this point, Tom would interject. Speaking of Leicester, it's time for, I believe, what is the biggest feature in radio broadcasting. Do I have to do it, Ash?
You do, I do. I've already got a part in it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, yeah. So it's, where's Wallace?
Where's Wallace?
Well, I think we did a good job there. He's just celebrating his son's 15th birthday with a cake that looks like a car.
Yeah, I wonder if his son got that car.
Yeah, do you reckon? He actually bought the car, but he is out there. He's just a family man, Wallace. He's just a bloody family man. And looking at photos of him, I imagine he ate all of that cake.
It looks like they're having a nice night out at a bowling alley or something.
It does. They're having a lovely night at a bowling alley with their car cake, grounded. Yeah. He's a very down-to-earth man as well. So that's what Wallace is doing. We should say that. Elsewhere in the league, we had a few other boring results, as we've already described. Burnley beat Palace 2-0. Some Palace fans are getting a bit scared, but they're not back in a relegation fight, I don't think. Ashley Barnes getting a goal, who's had a good few weeks, I think. And Andre Gray coming back, the ghost of Christmas past there. Andre Gray, he was brilliant last season or season before when they were up as a pick. He's kind of been out of it, but came on, scored, and a clean sheet for Heaton, which a lot of people left on their bench again. It was a story of benching the wrong keepers this week. Jakubovic for Haaland and Heaton for Burnley, but it's their first away win all season.
The Gray was, because they're mega at home, aren't they? Really good.
Yes.
Gray was one of my picks pre-season, wasn't he? He looked so good in the build-up to it. And he was so good before.
Yeah.
I guess if you're a struggling Premiership team, it's going to be really difficult if you're a striker.
I guess those players are playing for a move, in a way. They're kind of doing that thing, like him, Callum Wilson was another one, do you remember? He got injured, and that's why Joshua King's been able to play an advanced role. But I guess they're trying to play their way into the Spurs or Liverpool bench is what they normally do, isn't it? So that tends to be what they're doing.
I thought Boyd would do better as well. He was when they were in the Premiership last time.
George Boyd at Burnley.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't
really produced much.
No, he's one of those that he's always there and thereabouts as a name, but I'd probably walk past him. If it wasn't for his silly hair, I'd walk past him in the street. Sunday was a little bit better for football. Man United drew with Swansea 1-0. Gylfie Sigurdsson's had a few dodgy weeks, but anyone who stuck by him got some points. And a goal for Rooney. No one's got him, let's be honest. And a fucking dive from Rashford that could possibly relegate Swansea.
Yeah, he is like such a diver, isn't he?
It was bad. And do you know what? I said it on Twitter, but if that was Diego Costa diving, the media absolutely crucify him.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's just a young English lad who's like the poster boy of international, our only international player who plays well. And all of a sudden it's okay to dive. But I don't know. It's one of those. I think a young foreigner gets absolutely torn apart. If that's Jesus at Jesus at City, I think he gets absolutely slaughtered. But
yeah.
Rashford gets away with murder there. But yeah, so they drew with Swansea. Chelsea winning 3-0. They look very champion-like. Gary Cahill again. That guy's been an absolute monster this season.
Crazy, isn't it?
Two goals, two games. He's I think the commentary said it's his eighth goal this season.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is pretty impressive. That's outdoing what John Terry used to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a hell of a goal. And you know,
I don't 1, 2, 3, 4.
Or maybe that's including cup games, but
oh
at least
my God.
One of the Terry family scored last weekend. If YouTube videos or anything to go by, carry
guess
on.
Guess how many minutes he's missed this season? I'll give you a clue. It's not zero.
Oh, okay. Maybe one half or something. Is it like something crazy?
Seven.
No way, really?
Yeah. At Everton, they were winning 5-0, and I guess he got subbed off at the end. Apart from that, he's played every minute of every game.
That's incredible for a guy I didn't even think was that good, but he has done very well.
Yeah.
This season. No doubt he might make way for Terry for his farewell if they can tie up the championship.
Yeah.
It will be funny if it goes down to the last game because Terry won't get that farewell he wants because they can't afford to.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so it was more clean sheets for them. And a lot of people were banking on Hazard and Costa. I know I was. I captained Costa. And Hazard did okay. He got 5 points, but it was Pedro and Willian who got the goals. I'm tempted by Pedro for next week. Because he's still quite affordable.
He's such a weird one because it's like he's one of those players who's in that mystical zone of you never know how many minutes he's going to play. And then if he doesn't, sometimes he comes on, plays like 10 minutes and scores 12 points.
Yeah, like Willian did this week, came off the bench, gets a goal. And Willian's a brilliant player.
Really good.
It's a bizarre one because he just doesn't start often. But I think he'd walk into any other side in the league. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he definitely would. Yeah, no question.
So it is a weird one. You're right. It's hard to know what to do with them. But Everton, I think I've got rid of him now, but I think Lukaku's race is run as well. I said it last week, but I think they're done, aren't they?
They can't be bothered anymore. I don't know. I was really surprised. They looked like on the verge, like they were going to make a play for, you know, fourth, fifth, didn't they?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and then they
did.
Played West Ham, and then they were like, doing nothing's quite fun.
You've got to wonder if Lukaku's got an eye on a summer move. I don't imagine he spends another year there. I don't know.
No, it's weird though, like the psychology of it, where I guess it's like any job. If you get offered a job, even if you don't want to, once you've handed in your notice, you really can't be fucked anymore. Even if you, with the best will in the world, want to work hard.
Yeah.
I
was picturing Lukaku like stacking shelves at Sainsbury's or something, as you were saying. Imagine what he's like in another job. But yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's the same. Maybe they've, like, there's interest from other people. And you think you would play your heart out for the last few weeks to really impress them. But maybe it's like, oh. Well,
I guess that one injury, though, and that moves off.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, Lukaku's next move won't be like a signing for, you know, Bournemouth. We're talking signing for PSG or signing for, I don't know, whoever. He's going to be signing for a big, big European club, surely.
Oh, you're right about the injury thing, yeah. That's a big factor, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be missing out on. I mean, he's something stupid like 22, isn't he? So, like, he's worth a lot of money. I think he's brilliant. Other game on Sunday was Borough drawing 2-0 with City. This Middlesbrough under Karanka somehow score goals, concede goals. They do all the things they didn't do for the other 33 games of the season, and got a draw 2-0 with Man City. Last week, Tommy Teacakes was going on about how Negredo was the man to see him through the end of the season. He gets rid of him and he scores and gets an assist against City.
Amazing.
Which is pretty... He managed to have a decent week, Tom, but that is a hell of a week for Negredo. And then Man City, Jesus, there's a stat. I think in his Premier League career, he's had 5 attempts on goal and he scored 4 of them.
Shit me, really?
Yeah, he is an absolute monster. Him and Aguero, it was almost like the successor to the throne and the king that's still there, both getting a goal, assist from Aguero and Sane. 8 bookings.
Oh, that's true. Let's see. He's played 90 minutes 3 times.
Yeah.
In his career at Man City, and he's got 11, 13, and 6.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, I think he's going to be a pretty special player. And then when you throw in Leroy Sané as well,
yeah,
that's a hell of a squad next year if they can sort their shit out and realise, you know, they might need to strengthen at the back.
It's much better. If they can just keep them all playing consistently.
Yeah. But yeah, do look pretty exciting. But you can't then have that erratic a back four. I don't think Gael Clichy's still there. Like, Kolarov still gets minutes at centre-half. It's all a bit weird, isn't it?
But they went from a long time, basically since they got brought, they had, like, Balotelli and Robinho and went through this phase of trying to buy these big players.
Yeah.
And it's never worked out, and they ended up with, like, Alano and that lot. And then they got Aguero and Silva, yeah, and then basically have done nothing for 5 years. No one that's brought in, maybe, with the exception of Company, I guess, has, yeah, made any difference. And it's only within the last 2 years that the players they've brought have actually raised the level of their team.
Yeah, I guess the weird thing is, they obviously, when they won the league, the Company, Yaya Touré and Aguero all were phenomenal. But they, when they first came into money, they kind of tried to go down a tin pot version of the Galacticos, didn't they? Like you say, by, yeah, signing the Robinho and the, like, at the time they were big names, Alano, to sell shirts. And then actually, you're right, it's the names like Company and Aguero and now Sane and Jesus, yeah, they're the ones who are going to win you a league, not necessarily the...
Definitely. I think what they made the mistake of, I think they were the first team to really prove you can't just do a, like, cycle championship manager or whatever, football manager. If you give West Ham £1 billion,
yeah,
it doesn't mean anything. You still can't buy Messi because he doesn't want to turn up. It's the same, yeah, as when they got all their money and went to, yeah, Qatar, and he was like, well, I'm not really interested.
Yeah, no, they couldn't. You're right. It's taken them. You have to build that reputation to be able to attract those players. Yeah. Which they now have in phase. Talking of that, it's a talking point, actually. It's like we're getting through loads of actual football talking points without Tommy. Spurs beat Arsenal 2-0, and Spurs now, twice in a row, last year they probably should have won the league, or at least they shouldn't have come third behind Arsenal. This year, they're definitely going to come second because they beat Arsenal 2-0, sent Tottenham days over, and they still could win the league. They're now a club who could attract that A-list kind of talent in terms of Champions League players, because you wouldn't want to take the risk signing for Arsenal, you wouldn't want to take the risk signing for United or Liverpool. So Spurs, as much as you and Tom hate to admit it, look pretty good and rolled out quite comfortable against Arsenal in the end, 2-0. Ali and Kane, who else?
Yeah, I don't mind this new, like, sort of new generation of Spurs. They're not, like, they don't have that many players who you'd say, oh god, what a bunch of scumbags or anything like that.
No, I quite like them. Yeah,
I like Pochettino. They play nice football. They're right there.
Yeah.
And I haven't, and at least now, like, the thing that really did my head in for years and years is Spurs would always finish, like, when I was a kid, Spurs would basically finish a place ahead of West Ham. Like, we'd finish 10th or whatever. We'd finish 11th, they'd finish 10th. The difference between us was so marginal, say under Redknapp. But every year they'd come out and someone would say, like, Glenn Hoddle would be on Sky Sports and say, yeah, I've got a real good feeling. I've got a tip that Spurs are going to win the league this year. Like, fuck off. You are deranged. And all, yeah, their fans would be the same. But now, it seems like, oh, they could. Like, it's, yeah, at least definitely possible.
Yeah. And they've got that kind of young talent of... This, interestingly, Dele Alli, so he had that kind of weird on and off start to the season. He obviously won Young Player of the Year. He's currently, on 205 points, the fourth highest scoring player in the game.
Crazy.
So he's in fourth on 205. Hazard's in third on 207. Lukaku's in second on 209. And Sanchez is in first on 214. I'd be quite comfortable saying I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Hazard, but Ali finishes the top scorer in the whole game this year. He's only 9 points behind Sanchez and the guy looks on fire.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. And if he can do that at 9.2 million, never having reached 10 million, be the top scoring player in the game, that, you know, he's kind of been overlooked from a lot of squads, including me all season. Because in your head, you're thinking, has he had a good season? He's had a brilliant season. You just kind of
forgot. Yeah, and they've got so many other good players. Like, I've had Eriksen. Yeah. It never seems worth swapping them over.
Yeah, but he's on 199, Eriksen, so he's there as well.
Oh, I see, yeah. And they've got, like, West Ham, Hull and Leicester in their last four games.
Yeah.
So, and they're going to obviously slaughter us and Hull.
I think he could finish top. And interestingly, next season, surely he starts. Sanchez 11.5 now. Surely Dele Alli is an £11 million player next year, or £10.5 million player next year.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be 10.
Yeah, probably around that. That's what Hazard started, I think. And he had a bad season last season, brilliant season this season. But yeah, so it's looking. They look like they might get some exciting players.
Did you see? There was a thing in the news today that's saying Kyle Walker had fallen out of Pochettino and was thinking about leaving.
Really? Well, he has been. I mean, he's been rested a lot for for Trippier. I know that it was injury to begin with, but Trippier's done a good job. They've got great depth at fullbacks. Davis and Rose and Trippier and Walker is a great four.
I forgot about the whole thing that he was mysteriously kept being left out. Maybe they have had a bust up.
It was the same in the derby. He only came off the bench, which annoyed a lot of players.
Yeah.
But I've been saying it for weeks. With bearing in mind there's that right-back situation going on, why anyone wouldn't have had Ben Davis at 4.8 million? He was 4.7 million or 4.6 million. Why they wouldn't have had him while Danny Rose was injured and save yourself £1 million, I don't know, because he's been brilliant, Ben Davis, points-wise. We'll see now if Danny Rose comes back in. But my hunch is that Pochettino, when it's this tight in this tense, isn't going to change a great deal because he's still very much in that title hunt. And also this week... as in the coming week, Spurs play first against West Ham, so they can reduce it to 1 point.
Oh my God, yeah, they will, definitely.
So that's going to be close. And then Monday night, just to go back, after Sunday was quite good, Monday night, apart from one phenomenal thunder bastard of a goal, went back to being a terrible game of football with Liverpool beating Watford 1-0.
Yeah.
Lucas Leiva getting his third assist in five games, which is pretty astonishing. But Emre Can's goal means nothing in fantasy football because no one's got him, surely. But my God, it was a hell of a goal.
There's been some really good goals this season, isn't there?
There has been, yeah. When you look at Giroud's, Carroll's and Can's as the kind of leading three, probably.
Yeah.
But bookies have still got, I can't remember now, actually. The Odds Bible boys have posted the latest odds. Can's is favourite, I think. And then Giroud, Mkhitaryan and Carroll are all behind.
Yeah, I think it'll be Chan just because it was the most recent.
Also, it's that ball moving towards him. He's turned his back. It's all pretty ridiculous. You know, most bicycle kicks come from a ball being cut back or a lateral kind of ball. His is coming from behind him. It's fucking ridiculous. It's a ridiculous goal, to be honest with you. He's got no right to score it. We should quickly have a look at the league, actually, before we go away, and then bring Ryan from Fantasy Yarmar on for part two.
Hopefully,
all fingers crossed. So, but they've got used to our tones of actually talking football here. It's all been very nice. So the top 10 of the Gaffer Tapes League. In 10th place, it's PK Blinders, Gahar Niven. In 9th place, it's Banana Nose Maldonado. In 8th place, it's Exeter Gently FC, Stephen Barrett. 7th place is Slagen IF, which sounds newish. Morten Skarsten, it's another Scandi. In 6th place is Eirik Baranda. In 5th place is Abdullah Al Mamun, who you said you knew the translation of his team name because it's written in Arabic or something, I believe.
Baker's 11, was it?
There you go. In 4th place is King Ing Mings, Darren Hoy. Third place is back on the horse, Paul Marshman. 2nd place, Francisco Fernandez. He was top. And then in first place, it is Pruner's postman, Dara Harkin. And what name's there? Clifty's Mediocre 11. He's down to 12th, Clifty. He got 32, 32 this week.
Shit.
I know, right?
If you're listening and you're not in the mini league, here is the pin. You can join still, even if you've...
Yeah,
I've
do it.
I've spoken to some people recently who have said, oh, I listened to your podcast. Oh, God. I'm like, oh, where are you in the league? Oh, I'm not in the league. Oh, why didn't you join? I haven't got a team. What?
What are you doing?
A few people who've listened but don't have a team.
Mate, I question why people listen to us for an hour and a bit of their time, at the best of times.
It's probably far more relevant to people who don't have a team.
Not this week.
Oh, yeah. But so, the PIN number is 4945-2085. Sign up and it'll transfer your points over. is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, do it. And it would be make yourself really controversial and popular. We're all about that. It's great. But yeah. You've still had the same rules as everyone else. It's not like you've cheated. So come on in. It's fine. Just our positions. Tom, he is still the stepdaddy of G-Wing. He is down, though, to 578th. He's on 1,790 points, an 11 click wanker. I'm up to 660th. I'm on 1,763 points, so I'm 27 points behind him on 660th place, 13 click wanker. And Ash, you went down again a few places this week to 749th. You're on 1,735 points. You're a 14 click wanker.
I just have had the worst season. I can't, any change I've made, I've just had so many injury problems. So I made a triple, I saved a transfer, made a triple substitution because I had three people who were injured. So I made a triple change, brought in Aguero, a Phoebe, and then had to get in Dyer from Tottenham basically because I had no money left. And Aguero, a Phoebe are both out injured now.
That was like the longest suicide note ever.
Oh God, every week it's been so bad. It's basically been I think I might have been saying last week, it's been very, symbiotic with the actual West Ham season. So anytime we do anything, like when we got Ayew, oh, this guy was injured. Just can't get anywhere.
Oh, it's very sad. It's a very morbid note to end on for the part. But we'll tell you where the second biggest feature in British broadcasting. It's Tom Davis versus Tom Davis. Tom Davis from Murder in Successville is in 1,009th place, massively up. Tom Davis not from Murder in Successville is 525th. So I know I didn't deliver that with quite the gusto that Tom does, but that's the reason he does the features on the podcast. And little Dommy Monaghan, he is a 13 click wanker in 700th, sandwiched between me and Ash, which is just where we like him. Carmen would love that. So he is sandwiched in between us. But yeah, coming up in part two, we're going to be speaking to Ryan from Fantasy Yarmar, going through your questions, and we're also going to have a little message from none other than Tommy T Cakes, all the way from Clacton. All that's coming up in part two and part three of the Gaffer Tapes.
G-Wing, often to do these voice clips for 20 minutes while my son is crying and my wife's getting angry. yeah, they're rubbish because I keep trying to make jokes like, oh, I'm having sex with my stepdad. We don't have sex, we just bath together. sorry I can't be there, yeah, but I am on holiday. There's a lot of gypsies around. I'm not going to lie to you, there's a lot of gypsies. One of them stole a chair from outside our caravan, which I had to then go and get, and I thought I was going to die. I had to steal it back. That's the kind of guy I am. I will be back next week, and then it'll be, normal. Resumes as normal, whatever. What is it? Resume as normal. I don't want to bin this one because it went quite well, so we'll keep this one. Resume as normal can be a thing. Thanks to Ryan for stepping in for me this week, and thanks very much. I will catch you guys later. I was going to have a little question for Craig and Ash, and say something along the lines of how they're going to feel when I finally beat them this year at fantasy football, after they've believed me for like 3 years. But every time I did that bit, it sounded like quite aggressive. So, and there is a chance that one of them might still beat me, so I won't do that. But yeah, thanks very much. And I'll catch you guys later. Thanks. Bye.
Dad, run the bath.
Welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast. Usually with Craig, Ash and Tom. But this week with me, Craig, Ash, and all the way from Fantasy Yarmar, it's Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, boys. Beggity, beggity, bong.
There you go. Thank you for stepping in. Is that voice clip the weirdest introduction you've ever had to any podcast ever?
It's hard to say because, the level of expectancy just isn't what it used to be.
but that is Tom all the way from Clacton. Pretty weird, even for Tom, that one. I don't know where to go with that. But he was insistent that that's what the people wanted, the people's champ, and they wanted it. But we... we're going to kick off with part two with some questions. And we've actually got Ryan, who is a credible fantasy football source with us. So that's always helpful. And hey, you've got some bloody good writers on your site, mate. I will say that.
Yeah, we had Ash Kernsworth write for us for 1 week. It was
you did for 1 week. You had a decent person on there.
Tom's even done it once, I think.
Yeah.
Tom's done it once.
They don't come close to your 5 out of 5, you know.
So. Thanks, mate. Thanks. We should point out, actually, but obviously listeners know that I write a weekly blog for Fantasy Yarma. How's my Yarma pronunciation, by the way?
It's not bad. I mean, it's better when we used to do the American podcast and he used to say, "And welcome, Ryan from Fantasy Wireman." Really bad. So the Fantasy Wireman didn't go down too well.
I quite like that. This week, I was that prophetic. I was that Nostradamus-esque that I even predicted which Man United defender would get subbed off on 60 minutes and 10 seconds.
Did you see what we posted today?
What about that? Did you? Oh yeah, there's an open letter.
Yeah. So Fuzzy Warbles, I'll give him a shout out, but Fuzzy Warbles actually spent fuck knows how long of his life putting together a 2,500 word dossier on how this could be improved moving forward, and it had to be posted.
Wow. What does this entail so people can go and look at it? Is it like an open letter to the FPL?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't read it. You know, I just posted it. he's actually agreeing with it. He's saying that they actually got it right this time, but there's a fundamental flaw there about coming off in the 59th minute and into the 60th and all the rest of it. I'm just reading it through and saying, why can't we just get along? Do you know what I mean?
That's mad. Imagine writing a 2,000 word essay to go, yeah, you're right. That's essentially it, isn't it? That's a mad one. Ash, have you got by at Man United?
No, I thought about it, but every year I bring in some Man United defenders and they destroy my team, so I haven't.
Yeah, Valencia's kind of my go-to, but he's been rotated out. He actually came on for another injury, but Mourinho's deliberately rotating his squad just to be a dick.
Yeah.
Even though you know he doesn't. Like, I double-checked, because you know his whole, we're playing 9 games in April, blah, 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 it's just nonsense. Well, Madrid played 9 games in April and they did all right. So it's and he's managed them. He annoys me. I hate him. I absolutely hate him. Sorry,
How do you really feel?
I know, yeah. Do you know what I mean? I can't understand him. He's a bore. He bores me. Anyway, this isn't about us. This part is about questions that you guys have. We've also got some tweets, though, in a little section that we like to call Tweets for My Tweet.
Who's asking?
Who's asking? That does work, though. That's not it.
Oh, shit. That's a much better thing.
That is much better. Who's asking? Because they're asking.
But maybe that could be. Yeah. No one knows, do they? That's the whole thing.
Well, I think someone knows. We just don't know. We can't presume just because we don't know that everyone doesn't know.
I think it's a fucking solid fact. If we don't know something, no one does.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe. But yeah, so now that I've got two people who actually know what they're talking about fantasy football, I'm going to ping a couple of questions at you that are actually football related. This is a question we've been asked a lot. But Nick Smith, who is at I'm Nick Smith, so double the name, to triple captain or bench boost in week 37. We said what we thought last week, Ryan. What do you think? What's the better option?
The way I'm looking at it, 36 for triple captain, 37 for bench boost, just for the numbers. So what I did last week, 35, Ash, you talked about this last week as well, but I actually wildcarded last week in 35 to try to give myself as many double game week 37 players. And the whole idea of this was to probably captain Sanchez or Gabbadini in 36 and then just have everybody bench boosting on 37.
Yeah.
The reality of it is that it went tits up and 35 was a disaster. But
yeah,
you know, there's still 15 players hopefully to go in 37. So, I mean, we've seen 200 point weeks before.
Yeah, so I think that could be one, couldn't it? Anyone who wildcards themselves, near on a squad of players and bench boost, you could have 22 to 25 or whatever, 20, an odd number won't work, Craig, of games in your squad, couldn't you? So, pretty much what we said last week, but not succinctly, wasn't it, Ash? The wildcard into bench boost in 37, either side of that.
Yeah, basically.
Not 38, obviously, when I say either side. And that brings us on, actually, a tweet from at Jeffrey R. Ives, who is a guy who's very rude about me on Twitter, but in a way that I find charming. So somehow it seems quite funny when he does it. He said, our double game, I don't know if he's new to fantasy football, but he said, our double game week's always as worthless as they feel like they have been this season. He's a glass half full kind of guy. But what do we think? Because they have been bit shit this season.
This season, 34, terrible. So it's completely doesn't live up to the hype. And then you get those sort of anomalies where Negredo plays a double game week, does Jack, and then next week he manages a goal and assist against City.
Crazy.
And you're just there thinking, you know, I would garrote you, but you can't.
Yeah. He's got a big neck. You definitely can't. It's huge.
I think the week 37 Chelsea double game week is going to be big.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who then? Who, like, in terms of a triple captain or just in terms of anyone?
I think if you've got three Chelsea players just combined, their remaining fixtures are so easy, and the teams they're playing are easy and they've got nothing to play for. And Chelsea have got Tottenham breathing down their neck.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, you couldn't ask for much more than Middlesbrough, West Brom, Watford, Sunderland.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Middlesbrough obviously are pulling out results whilst they're fighting for life, but it's at Stamford Bridge. I don't see them getting anything, but I think most of us have Costa and Hazard or one of the two, but so I guess if you're new to fantasy football, all you've heard all season from all the like so-called experts such as ourselves is, oh, double game week, DGW. And then you watch it and you're like, this is shit, mate. I've scored 50 points. So I can see why you might think it's rubbish.
I think you hit on something good there about, you know, maybe people are newer to the game, because the one that caught everybody out last year was trying to, you know, wild card save on 36 and play, you know, triple captain or bench boost at the same time. So, you know, if you take nothing away from this, apart from, you know, I don't know, maybe phoning somebody with Tom's stepdad or all you can remember is that you can actually do that wild card and bench boost or two chips in the same week. So sounds straightforward, but people, you know, literally will tweet and ask me this religiously every week.
Yeah. What is the most ridiculous, like, tweets you, the most regular tweets you get? Like, is there one that really does your head in, that, because you get a lot of tweets?
Well, we talked about this. The one that sort of doesn't grate on me, because it's a fair enough question, but they'll say to me, you know, who should I buy, Firmino or Coutinho? Or they'll ask me, who should I buy, Ericsson or Dele Alli? What I don't know in a lot of cases is who they already are. So,
yeah.
The frustrating part for me isn't getting the question, it's sort of getting the question. So, what I would say is, if you're going to tweet anything, and you know, typically what I'll do, I'm not just give my opinion, this whole FPL expert thing is, you know, to be honest, but we'll always put it up to the public as well. So I'll get paid, I respond, but I'll also put it up to the public as well, sort of get a, you know, a consensus of opinion as well. But as I said, if you're going to ask something, so we know what we're talking about, because it changes things. If you say to me you want, you know, Ericsson or, for the sake of game 37, Ericsson or Ozil, I'm straight away thinking you already have Sanchez. So it's just a double. That's the only sort of thing that's great.
I guess if they need to screenshot their team so you can go, oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. But I like it when they screenshot their team as well, because a lot of the time people don't close windows and stuff. So it's always interesting to see if they're looking at like gardening tools or something like that there to take a piss.
When you said, I need the whole information, I can't do it without the whole picture. For a while, you sounded like one of the help desk curries. When you take in your laptop and you go, can you fix this, mate? And they'll be like, I need to know more than that.
Have you tried taking it off and on?
Exactly, that is it. We do, most tweets we get kind of people talking about big cats, cabins, dick pics. That's generally what we get. We got another tweet from Cisco Fernandez, ex-league leader. He said, where do you stand on the greatest debate of our time, Sanchez for two double game weeks? And will you title this pod episode The Dirty Sanchez? Well, we might do that. That's a very good name. What do you reckon, Ash? Is Sanchez, surely 4 weeks ago, everyone thought he's a stick on, but now it's a bit like, oh, fuck, do you even want him?
Yeah, I don't know. I've gone for Ozil instead.
Why?
Because I fucking like fish.
He's a fish-eyed lesbian.
Exactly, because Aquaman's coming out soon, so I thought I'd go for it. I don't know, to be honest. Sanchez is just, not doing it.
Yeah.
Went for
Ozil. Ozil is loads cheaper, is the actual reason.
Yeah.
You'd have thought a while ago that Sanchez was, everyone's eyes were lighting up at these game weeks, the amount of games that Arsenal had left to play for Sanchez, but I don't know. What do you both think? Will he even be there next year?
I think Sanchez will be there because they'll offer him 300k to stay. disposal. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe the flip side of this is maybe, you know, he actually gives himself a kick up the arse and performs over the next 3 weeks, simply looking for a move. Who knows?
They look bad, though. They don't look good.
Ozil is nearly 100 points behind Sanchez. That's mental. The thing with Sanchez is, I think he would go, but who's going to buy him? Who's got the money? Like,
well, if he hasn't already been.
If he can go next year, yeah. He'd go next year on a free, like, you might as well. Like, if you're going
to
do it.
I know it's proper, like, punchy and controversial, but I'd fucking love him to just go up to City or something.
I could see him going to Chelsea.
I absolutely love it. I would, can you imagine the Arsenal fans, how livid they'd be? Can you imagine the amount of raps that Heavy D will bring out if Sanchez goes up to Man City? Oh, it'd be brilliant.
Imagine if he went to Chelsea, how good they'd be. Fucking hell.
They don't need him. Like I say, Willian's one of my favourite players in the Premier League. He can't get a game.
But then I could see Hazard going. Because Hazard and Sanchez are going to be about the same amount of money, aren't they? So why would you buy Sanchez? Hazard's better.
I think it's as simple as that. You'd find space, wouldn't you? I think if they were there.
So they would have them both. But I mean, if someone's going to come in and buy them, say if someone buys Hazard, they can't keep him. Like, why not then steal Sanchez?
You're thinking of your board games again. You can't. There's no like stealing and passing. This doesn't happen, Ash. It's not Goblin Bowl. It's not Goblin Bowl. You can't do that.
It's not like a Football Manager where everyone's got a buyout clause and you can just steal them from all the Spanish stuff.
This is it. You can look at the fictional world of Football Manager where you can just look at other people's contracts, like in their bank accounts. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I know you announced, Ryan, that you were coming on the pod. Did any of your followers have any question requests that I imagine were probably nothing to do with football? Did you get any weird ones to ask?
There was one about a giraffe, which seemed...
That sounds tremendous, yeah.
Yeah, so if a giraffe was to wear a tie, would it wear it at the bottom of its neck or at the top?
That's a fucking brilliant question.
God damn, that's a good question.
That's an unbelievable question, because my gut instinct was top, but now I think about it, oh man, that's good.
And it's going to be the bottom, isn't it? The function of a tie is to cover the buttons on your shirt.
Oh, Ash, that's a brilliant answer.
See,
the only thing that could have been better.
The scenario, huh? So just to give a shout out, that was actually from FPL Fly.
That's a good question, that.
The other one I thought was, well, I have to give this person a shout out just because, you know, she's bordering on questionable. But if you had to build a football team made up of famous actresses, who would you want to play in nets?
What?
I'll read it out one more time, and just so you know, this is from Superfan Carmen.
Oh, it's from Carmen. Okay, yeah.
Bordering on, do we need to call somebody about her?
Oh, we love Carmen.
If you had to build a football team made up of famous actresses, would you play in net?
Right. I mean, it's a hard one to think of an answer on the spot for that, I'll be honest.
Who would you play in net?
Yeah, in goal. Who would go in goal at a famous actress's 11?
I thought you said, who would play Annette?
What? If you, that's a good answer, though. Someone called Annette.
Yeah.
Would probably be a good one. Oh, that's tough. I don't know. I wish I'd thought of the Annette gag, because that's much better than anything I could think of. So I'm not sure.
I've got an answer. Alison, is it Alison Janney, do you pronounce it? The one who plays CJ Craig in West Wing. She's quite tall.
Is that it? Just because she's tall?
She's tall. She's American, so she probably played it as a kid. Perfect.
What? What the fuck is that kind of logic? Well, she's American and tall, so she probably played in goal as a kid.
An American female has probably got more chance of having played football.
Yeah, you're right, mate. She didn't play basketball. That big girl there.
God, what is your brilliant insight into this, then?
Mine would be someone, let's say... Jodie Marsh, glamour model Jodie Marsh, because she has experience with semen. I need time to think
fucking,
about
it. Yeah, well, it's good, isn't it? You mock me pretty hard for my pretty good answer. And the best you can come up with.
You wasted the best gag when neither of us could think of a girl called Annette. If you had thought of that, that was a brilliant joke and a great answer.
Twitter, the power of Google here. There was a Annette O'Toole who played Marcia Kent in Smallville that I think could be, you know.
Listen, don't try and bring in Irish sounding names as propaganda here.
Yeah.
She's an Irish sounding actress.
I'm just
Annette O'Toole,
you know.
So I mean, yeah, as it's from Smallville, that was a cool show. Annette was a great answer, Ash, and we wasted. Tom would have got that, wouldn't he? Tom would have formed the joke there. But either way, you went for someone because they're tall, and I went for someone because they're slutty. So I think we've covered it pretty well.
I don't understand your answer at all.
It was a sex gag, mate. Semen, David Semen, sperm.
Thanks.
I mean, it wasn't a good gag, but thanks for pointing that out. Yes, I was hoping we would have moved on from it. not that you need any more, but were there any more we should have gone? We got a couple of emails to read, or did you have anything up there with the giraffe question? Because that's pretty good.
A lot of the repeat ones. Clark Bailey from Gem Shway was a bit annoyed that he asked some months ago and it didn't get asked.
Oh, really?
So, with favourite crisp for Ash, not including Tato.
Oh, shit. I forgot about Tato's.
I don't even know what that is.
If you go to Northern Ireland, everything, well, the airport is sponsored by Tato's, the crisp.
Really?
I'm not aware. The only thing I can remember. I hadn't heard of it before, but it's pretty big over there.
How far out of Britain do you have to go before Walkers become Lays? I've always wondered, what's the cutoff? Like, Republic of Ireland, is it Walkers or is it Lays? I don't know. Because I presume, obviously, like Northern Ireland, Scotland, England, Wales, it's all Walkers, obviously. But as soon as you hit France, they're Lays somewhere. Somewhere they change. And I've never
stop sitting on the fence, Craig. You know, what's your favourite crisp?
I'd say, do you know what? I'm a fan of a skip or a frazzle.
Oh. Tell you what I really like. Is that what they call discos?
Yeah, discos were good. Same with squares. Squares are a crisp. Yeah, or wheat crunchies. Bacon wheat crunchies.
Oh, what would Tom's be? I guess Cheetos, because they're the most cat-esque.
Maybe. Tom would say something like, do you know what I like? Apples and pears. Is the discontinued from the 1989 one. And they used to do balls crisps. And they had a picture of bloke's balls on the front and they got rid of them. PC gone mad. He used to love that. Testicle crisps. They'd say something like that. That'd be something what Tom would say.
At work, I have some McCoys, don't I? Because I'm a bloke.
Yeah, exactly. Steak. None of this fancy shit. Yeah. Cheese and onion. I don't want veg in my crisps, mate. Give me steak. It was something like that.
Oh, no. Yeah, I used to have like steak flavoured McCoys, but now I'm a dad. I'm a dad. Did you know that? I'm a dad. Now I have salt and vinegar because it's healthier.
Yeah, so now I only eat vegetable crisps because I'm a dad and I'm a respectable father. So, yeah, he's probably more hipster than any of us.
Yeah.
He's in Clapham with like he's growing a moustache for the weekend and wearing braces.
I normally have McCoys, but I did have a really nice packet of crisps once when I was collecting an award at Old Trafford.
Yeah, that could be one of them. We should read a couple of emails quickly. We got one from Cisco Fernandez, who was top of the league last week, now in second place. And he wrote us when he hit top of the league, and he said, "What the fuck do you do when you hit the top of the league? It's all downhill from here. I've got my triple captain and bench boost still to play, so all of you wildcarders better make it count." It's like a wrestling smack talk, that. In the meantime, I'm going to make sure my political perspectives are crystal clear for the pod-listening world and make a late-season name change. I don't know what that... He's obviously changed his name to something. Here's hoping I don't bomb out of the top 100 in the next four game weeks. Peace. Cisco. I think we kept that because it's always quite nice when someone on top of the league starts talking smack, just in case it goes horrendously wrong, was one from him. And then we had a question from another Dom H, who's the manager of Death Squad MUFC. He said, "Hello, chaps." Probably from Windsor, speaking like that. "Hello, chaps. Question for you this week. Who are your must-haves if you've still got your wild card? I've already activated it, but basically he says his idea is to do exactly what Ryan was saying, to use it and get ready for week 37. So obviously he hasn't got his triple captain, but he's got his bench boost, I think. He has still got his triple captain. The wild card must... Tabs, if you get to wild card now, who do you both think are the people you need in your squad?
For me, only because they've got doubles in 36 and 37, there has to be some sort of, you know, Southampton and Arsenal coverage. So look, I think you take your pick. Sanchez, maybe Ozil, but he's terrible. What you could do maybe is look at Gunnar's keeper, check. We had a great one last week where one of the guys, Joe, on Twitter had actually captained Guzan for the double game week 34.
Right.
Now it was predominantly because I said he wouldn't do it, so he did it. But listen, that paid off for him. And there's been a couple of actual examples in these double game weeks where the keepers do really well, you know, if they get a couple of clean sheets. I think you just have to make sure you've got at least one coverage there for Gunners and Southampton just with doubles in 36 and 37.
Who would you go for at Southampton though? But I know they've got four games in 2 weeks, which is great. But who would you, who's good value there? Because I don't know.
Before last week, I would have said Tadic. He was the one I was sort of, you know, pinning the hopes on, thinking, right, you know, he's going to get the assists and all the rest of it. Obviously, he missed the penalty last week. That freaked me out a bit. Gabbadini off front, maybe. But the other one, and I'm holding on to this simply because he was in my game week one team because he scored a hat trick in the preseason, was Nathan Redmond. So,
yeah.
Do I expect him to do anything? Not really, but will he allow you to get other more expensive double game week players in? Yeah, probably. So, could be a shout. I think he's about a million, probably cheaper than Tadic. But,
yeah, he was in my game week one team as well. I thought he'd be, but he's, I mean, just the fact that he's playing four games in 2 weeks makes him appealing, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
What about you, Ash? Who do you think's a must have if you wildcard now?
It's so difficult to tell because everyone's got such, the double game weeks are also shit fixtures. I think the Man City defenders, I couldn't tell you who, I think any of them, they're not, they're probably quite like sneaky little buys because their game's coming up. There's no way. Can you really see them conceding to Leicester and West Brom?
I don't know. I couldn't see them conceding two to Middlesbrough.
That's true, yeah. And then Chelsea, obviously. So I think if you packed out your defence with Chelsea and Man City, like cheap, whoever they've got, isn't a bad shout. That'd be quite a lot of points over the double game week.
It's a tough minute. For those of us without a wild card, I'm just praying it all goes horribly wrong for these people that have smugly kept onto them. It is my prayer as to try and catch on. That's all I want to do. It's all I want.
That brings up an interesting. Is there actually a bet between the three of you or is it just bragging rights?
Not this season.
There isn't a bet, actually, no. Ash always keeps trying to suggest that one of us gets a tattoo, and Tom and I are very strong on the fact that we don't want a tattoo.
You do it, but I thought we should, at the start of the season, the whoever comes last should get a tattoo, and then...
Ash said, Tom, neither of us have a single tattoo, right, Ryan? But Ash has got one on the inside of his lip, so he's obviously not scared of ink.
But I'm not saying you should get a tattoo on your face.
Oh, or the inside of my lip or anywhere. Mate, I do not want... it's a recurring dream of mine that I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time and I go to prison and I don't want my tattoos to be misconstrued for any form of gangs, Ash. So I don't want the tattoo. If I have like a gaffer tapes logo on me and they're like, who'd you kill? I don't want that shit. I don't need that heat.
Yeah. I think Chuck would get a gaffer tapes tattoo on his face. I think that should
I
be
think
the
Carmen
thing.
Would get one. I think Carmen would get a gaffer tapes tattoo.
I think Carmen already has one.
I hope so. That'd be amazing if someone does that. Please don't do it.
We had a guy last year. It was he was an Everton Liverpool tattoo on his leg and raised money for charity.
Oh,
and,
shit.
No, listen, genuinely, it was Nick Dev on Twitter, but he offered that if I did the charity money, he'd get the Fancy or my logo tattooed on his arse. So,
wow.
I don't know if we should do that or not. It feels actually cruel to do that.
And then you went and changed your logo, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Change it like the week after.
Yeah, that would be cruel. But at least you know what? I work in telly and tattoo fixers always need people to go on that show. So they'll sort you right out. It's not a problem.
Yeah, that is true, actually. If I worked on tattoo fixers, if I was producing that, I probably wouldn't want to get one quite so much.
No, because you see, I never worked on it, but there you go. Yeah. That's about the time for part two, but we'll be back in a sec for part three, where at this point, Tom would normally say he's got a quiz that's fire, fire, fire. But Tom's not here. So let's just say we'll see what happens in part three of the Gaffer Tapes. Hello and welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Craig, Ash and guest host Ryan from Fantasy Yurma. The accent that I've now perfected, he told me. So that's 10 out of 10. That's another accent I could put on my CV if I want to get an acting job. We are going to look ahead at the fixtures for the next game week. Game week 36, can you believe it? Where the last couple of double game weeks start. Friday night game is West Ham Spurs, where Spurs obviously can get to with 1 point of Chelsea. Ash, you're obviously a West Ham fan. You've already spoken about it on the pod earlier, but there's no chance you can get a result, is there?
Zero, like mathematical zero? Well, is that like the coldest temperature minus a million? We're done. Game over. I can't even believe you can bet on it.
Really? Is it
pretty,
that? You think so?
Pretty positive about it.
Yeah, you don't think so. And what, Ryan, out of interest, do you think Spurs can still win the league, or do you think Chelsea will grind it out?
They could get enough points, but no, it's just looking at Chelsea's fixtures. If they can't get the required points from the last four games out of those, there's something not right. You know, it's just...
Yeah, yeah.
You look at who they're playing and things like that. And again, even though Spurs are playing up first on Friday night, even if they did come within 1 point, that's, you know, it'll be four again by the end of the weekend, I'm convinced.
Yeah, because they're at home to Middlesbrough, isn't it? They don't seem like a team that are that phased. Conte doesn't seem like a man who's particularly phased by a title race anyway. But no, I agree. I have enjoyed watching Spurs, but I think Chelsea probably are the team to deserve to win it. I'm sure they will. Saturday, the early kickoff is Man City versus Crystal Palace. Palace, obviously, a team who have caused a few upsets in the last few weeks, and then drop points against Burnley. So it's up to you whether you want to stick by the likes of Zaha, Benteke, Townsend. I know a lot of people are offloading after bringing him in. Bournemouth face Stoke. Burnley are at home to West Brom in what surely will be another very, very boring game. Hull at home to Sunderland. The first time Hull have been favourites for quite a while and need the points. Leicester at home to Watford. Swansea at home to Everton in a must-win game for them. And then a Sunday sees Liverpool. Chelsea versus Middlesbrough on a Monday and Southampton versus Arsenal on a Wednesday. Hopefully it's got to be a better game week, match of the day, than last week, which was pretty dire. But obviously we've talked a bit about the double game week candidates, you know, Arsenal and Southampton. But in amongst the mishmash of the other fixtures, are there people in there who you think will be a good shout for the week? Obviously the ones that you tell me, Ryan, I'm just going to then put in the blog that I send back to you.
Well, that's all right. And I use your blog then to do the odds bible the day after.
That's it. So we're all just it's a circle jerk of tips that do or don't come off. But is there anyone in there for the week you think could be a bit of a sleeper to pick?
Sleeper, it's like, I mean the GMAC hat trick, obviously. But
sure.
The one that's going to be interesting here is because these double game weeks are coming up, who's going to get rid of King from Bournemouth? You know, yeah. Who's going to have the balls to drop him for a double game week player, because he is on fire, and you would like to say playing at home against Stoke, it's, you know, it's possible for him to hit another double figures there again.
Yeah.
Fixtures wise, Liverpool, Southampton, hard to tell. With Emre Bergkamp champ after last.
Yeah, time. I know. Yeah,
it was ridiculous. Cool, but I mean, it all boils down to that sort of theory you have, I think, of the teams with nothing to play for at the end of the season. So yeah. I'd be looking at it like, you know, if you look at Southampton in 9th, 4th, Palace 16th on 38 points. There's only 3 points to separate 9th, 16th. Now, I don't know the numbers, but you'd like to think you get a hell of a better performance bonus for finishing 9th and 16th.
Yeah. Some of them played that, like Bournemouth, for instance, are playing like, you know, they don't want the season to end. But I'm more confident, for instance, in Josh King outscoring... Yeah. In one game, in a single game week, than anyone for Arsenal outside of Sanchez in a double game week. There's no front six outside of Sanchez at Arsenal that I'd put in over Josh King.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee who starts anyway. Ox Chamberlain has looked decent in the new formation. He could drop next week. I just don't know who he's going to start.
And I guess the downside of that is he's playing further back. He might get the odd more assist from wing back, but the goal threat's probably slightly less. So it's a difficult one. Have you got eyes on anyone, Ash?
I don't know. It does look so dire as a week of fixtures, doesn't it? Apart from Spurs nailing West Ham, I reckon City will probably do Palace as well. Palace away. I guess they're like relatively tight at the back and could score on the counter. But I mean, they're going to sit back, aren't they? So if an early goal goes in.
I've just got a feeling that Niass at Hull might dick Sunderland.
Yeah.
And I know it's not exactly a fashionable pick because he's, you know, he plays for Hull and he's 5.6 million. But they, like, at home, they look brilliant at home. Like, now, since their sort of change of management. And I know they're not a double game week. So, obviously, if you're wildcarding, that's not really an option. But I don't know. I think Niass could get... I think Hull could batter Sunderland. You wouldn't want to be... Imagine making that trip from Sunderland to Hull. Who's even going to make that trip?
Yeah, that's great.
Is this a spoiler alert for your outsider pick then?
He probably is, actually. Probably is a spoiler. Although, yeah, will be a slight spoiler, yeah. I'm not going to think of another one. He's 0.4% picked. I can't see me doing another one. Yeah. I just think he's quite a good player. He's been unlucky with injuries. Actually, I think he's quite a talented guy. Yeah.
It's not out of the picture that Burnley will slaughter West Brom. Burnley are good at home. West Brom got absolutely
very
to
good
play for. Gray, maybe.
Gray, he's been on the bench. But I think a lot of people, if this was earlier in the season, a lot of people would probably have a pop on Ashley Barnes or after his goal last week.
Yeah.
But this time of the season, people are a bit sticking to what they know, aren't they?
Yeah, and they haven't got a double game week coming up, so.
Yeah, exactly. If it's game week four, you probably go, oh, I might pop a Burnley striker in for the week and see how he does. But people are getting nervous. None more so than Tom, who stopped posting his balls. So he's now very scared because he thinks I'm going to catch him. So he looked at me in a way with the eyes that he normally reserves only for his kin, only for his stepdad. So he seems nervous. But I don't know. I think that sticks to what I know, which is why I might slip in the ass. Oh, that sounds bad. I might put in the ass in. I didn't even think how that sounded phonetically. That's as good a time as any to move on from the fixtures. Now, this is where Tom, before we slip it in the ass, this is where Tom normally does a bit of a quiz, and he very proudly says how brilliant it's going to be. And then as the chaos unfolds, you realise that Tom hasn't prepared for any eventuality, really, and the quiz is a bit of a shambles. And quite frankly, I'm glad there's any time left. But Ryan, have you been asked to step into the breach?
I have been asked to prepare something in the guise of Roy Walker.
Now, right.
I thought that was a bit, you know, insulting to, you know, well, just because I'm from Belfast, I have to do something like Roy Walker.
But, yeah.
You know, we ran with it. So, you know, we'll do all the, you know, horns at the ready, fingers steady, it's time to play and all the rest of that shit. But there are rules to this. Right? I've spent time doing the rules, right? So I'm going to read the rules for you once, and that's it. There's no going back. There's no asking questions. It's just once. Ashley, you ready?
Yeah.
Right. Pick a player to go first. Play proceeds to the left. On your turn, we'll roll the dice and move the piece to the number of game board spaces shown. Then follow the instructions printed on the space you land on. Two or more pieces may be on one space at the same time. As your piece moves around the game board, you will collect cheese pieces from the cheese pile and from your opponent. You may use cheese pieces later in the game to help you spring the trap. More about this later in the instructions. Once the mouse trap is complete. Right, it's not that. It's a lot simpler than that.
I would love it if we were playing mouse trap. For a while, I was like, this isn't fair. We can't play Goblin Bowl. Ash does this all the time.
No, very simple. Tom, Dom, or the other Tom.
Okay.
10 questions. Who's it? What's the scores at the minute?
Oh, I'm Baron.
Yeah,
I think Ash needs this. I think he needs this to have a chance of levelling it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think I'm three ahead.
Yeah.
So, Ashley, you're losing. Do you want pack A or pack B?
B. But I think Craig goes first.
No, you can go. Hey, it's Ryan's week.
Well, Craig can still go first, but you, since you're losing, I'll let you pick.
Yeah, I'll get B.
It makes no difference, really. Anyway, it's, you know.
Yeah.
You're not another thing based on previous performance. So, say what you see, keep pressing, keep guessing. Question one for Craig.
Right.
Two of the following statements, I'm going to read three statements. One of them is from Tom Holmes, Gaffer Tapes Tom. I was starting to warm up to Torres, but then he pulled a Ronaldo. Or, lost followers tweeting about Dom Monaghan. Or, lost followers tweeting about Jody Marsh.
One of them's from Tom.
One of them is from Tom.
It would be quite show what a weird level Tom and I are on if somehow, even though he's not here, we both mentioned Jody Marsh in the same podcast. And so I'm going to go for the Jody Marsh one. Lost followers tweeting about Jody Marsh.
Is correct.
Wow.
There you go. That's pretty weird.
He started to warm to Torres and then he pulled a Ronaldo. It was actually from Ash in 2010.
Oh, wow.
What?
All right, Ashley, same question to yourself. There's three answers here. Pick the one that Tom actually said.
Well, actually, I didn't recognize the one I said, so this is going to be trouble.
So, I can understand the being a monk now. Or, I actually thought I was a half-decent rapper. Or, tell them I'm likable. Not funny, but likable.
Middle one.
I can the concept of being a monk now. Was actually from Tom Hanks. So, the other Tom. It's good, but it's not right. Tracy, you're back in play. Craig, would you like to take a go at that one?
Oh, yeah, I will. I think it's the last one. I think it's the likeable and funny, because he always got told in his reviews that he was likeable, cheeky, chappy. And he was like, I just want to be called fucking funny.
That's correct. Now, you don't get an extra point for it, but thanks for playing.
Yeah, ciao.
Next
bollocks.
Question. All right, Craig, next question. Who am I? Born 9th of October, 1991. Made my international debut in 2010. I was an Australian Institute of Sport scholarship holder, and at the 2016 Summer Olympics represented Australia.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I'm struggling to think of any Australian players. 1991. Okay. So who the fuck is that?
I'll tell you what I'll do. While you're thinking about it, I'm going to ask Ash his who am I question. And that way you can sort of have a wee bit of...
Okay. That's good. Yeah.
So, Ashley.
Yes.
English rugby player for Nottingham RFC. Signed for the Rotherham Titans in 2016. He previously played for Steel Sharks, and he plays as a lock. So, a couple of seconds. Does anybody have any guesses they want to throw out?
I mean, I can't quite get someone in the right age bracket. I don't think I'm going to get mine. So I'm guessing there's a funny answer to it. So I'm going to say the only Australian player I can think of that I know is Aaron Moy at Huddersfield.
That's incorrect. Ashley?
I'm going to go Tom Holmes.
It's correct.
Yes! Oh, you bastard. That's, yeah.
Get in.
Should have thought about that.
I would say there was a frantic piece of Googling going on there.
No, that was a total guess, because I assumed when Craig said there had to be a funny answer, I was like, oh, shit, obviously.
Yeah, that's smart. Damn it, I'm annoyed.
So, obviously, Craig, the answer to yours was Tom William, who is an Australian swimmer. But that's okay. That's okay. That's, you know, still it's 1-0 to Craig at the minute.
What else?
That's fine. Next question. And we're going to mix this up a bit. We're going to throw in some FPL to sort of give the pretense that we, you know, have a...
Of course, yeah.
So, Craig, which Premier League midfielder has the least points this season? Is it A, Lee Cattermole, B, Lyndon Gooch, or C, Matthew Flamini?
Oh, well... I mean, even if it was Flamini, just in honour of you being here, I would never criticise him. But I would say it's got to be Lyndon Gooch.
The best named player in the Premier League is incorrect.
Oh!
It was Lee Cattermole with 9 points. Lyndon Gooch on 10 with Flamini on an almighty 11.
Cattermole is a shithouse, isn't he? What is he good for?
Well, he's good for the answer on that question.
Yeah, that's true.
So, over to you, Ashley. Yeah. Which Premier League defender has more points this season? Is it Hector Bellerin, Eric Peters, or Winston Reid?
Who's got the most?
Mm-hmm.
Bellerin, Reid, Peters.
Is incorrect. It was Winston Reid with 97, Bellerin 96, and Peters on 96. Oh, very close.
Oh,
but, you
I
know.
See. Oh, okay.
That's a disappointing. That's a disappointing return from Bellerin, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's terrible. But, you know, in fairness, look at his hair. So...
It's true. It looks ridiculous.
Next question for Craig. Who has the least followers? Is it A, Tom Holmes, the rugby player? Is it B, Tom Holmes, the Olympic swimmer?
Yeah.
Or is it C, Tom Holmes, Gaffer Tom?
Do you know what? It's depressing for both those guys. Any of them's got less followers than Tom Holmes, Gaffer Tapes. But I don't think you have it as our Tom being the least. So I think it's going to be... And the other guy played for Sale Sharks. That's a big team. I'm going to think it's the swimmer. I think the swimmer's got the least.
Incorrect. It was actually the rugby player with the least.
Tom no way.
And Tom's Australian namesake in the lead with about 5,000 followers. So it's not really going well here. We've done 7 questions. There's 1 right answer so far. But maybe that's just...
No, it's 2. Ash got one. Ash got one as well. He got the rugby player, Tom Holmes. So
all right. So he won also. And all right, over to Ashley. Ashley, there... 3 statements. Again, one of them is Tom Holmes. One of them is not Tom Holmes. And the other is definitely not Tom Holmes.
Okay.
So, here's a picture of a brown pigeon. Or, here's a picture of a brown panda. Or, here's a picture of a brown bunny. Because it's Saturday.
To try and channel. So,
yeah,
Tom,
it's difficult.
Would he be using Twitter on a Saturday? I don't know.
Well, he's using it on holiday, which is something he also said he doesn't do.
That's true. We talked about that a bit. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know if he can get access to a computer or electricity on the weekends. So not that one. What were the first two?
First one was, here's a picture of a brown pigeon. And the second, here's a picture of a brown panda.
I'm going to have to go brown panda.
It is incorrect. Tom was actually talking about a brown pigeon.
Oh, I knew it would be a pigeon. I just knew he'd tweet a brown pigeon. It's a bit frightening, though.
But yeah.
It's ridiculous. Right, next one. Craig, three statements again. First one, Welbeck is doing a job. Fair play. Roy knows better than me. Or, Danny Welbeck has completed his loan move to Tesco's. Or, Danny Welbeck might look odd in an Arsenal shirt, but his man boobies are on point.
Oh, that's hard. And one of them's Tom. I think it's got a... Oh, Christ, I don't know. That's hard. I'm going to go with the man boobies one.
It is incorrect. The man boobies statement was actually made in 2014 by Dominic Monaghan.
No, was it? There you go.
Known to the show. Tom actually said the Welbeck is doing a good job. Fair play. Roy knows better than me. And Danny Welbeck has completed his loan move to Tesco, was said by every fucker on the internet about 2 years ago. Continuously and every summer. Next one. Ashley, we've got three statements. It's very straightforward. One, get your asparagus out. Two, wasn't a great picnic, if I'm completely honest. Or three, I hate it when you buy sushi and they put the bag in the not flat way.
The second one. So it's answer B, so it is.
So you're going with it wasn't a great picnic?
Yes.
Is incorrect.
Oh, man.
No, actually, it was true. I just wanted to throw it out. So you got one right. So in addition, so it wasn't a picnic, if I'm completely honest, was by Tom Holmes in 2012. Get Your Asparagus Out was by Eamon Holmes last year.
Oh, okay.
And, the third one, Craig, do you recognize it?
Is that me? What is it?
That was you talking about, I hate it when you buy sushi and they put the bag in not flat.
Really? Do you know what? Do you know what? As you were saying it, I was going, that is annoying, that. I was like, whoever said that's right, because it is annoying. When you buy sushi from like, if it's like just shit in the bag vertically, that's bollocks, isn't it? I don't need that. It's a flat. Serve it flat.
Guys, don't get me wrong. Look, I did put a wee bit of thought into these questions and things like that there. And I've did like 40,000 tweets and most of them are utter balls. But fuck me, you boys write a lot of shit. So
I've tweeted far too many times as well. It's embarrassing the amount I've tweeted.
At least I didn't have many tweets to go through. Fairness.
Well, yours, yeah, but we had to go into the dark web to get yours. Right, so next question, we'll flip it on to some sort of football related. Craig, which Premier League player has the least bonus points this season? Is it A, Kane, B, Zlatan, or C, Costa?
Okay. Least bonus points. I'm going to say, due to injuries and him being concentrated in singular matches, with the other two being more consistent over a span of time, I think Kane's probably got the least bonus points out of the three.
It's incorrect. Kane has 26, Zlatan has 28, and Costa has the least bonus points on 25 because Eden Hazard keeps stealing them.
Yeah, and bookings probably as well. That's a good point.
Ash, we've got which Premier League player has had the biggest points increase this season? Is it A, Marcus Alonso, B, Romelu Lukaku, or C, Tom Heaton?
It's got to be Heaton.
Is incorrect. It was actually Romelu Lukaku at 1.3 million rise, Marcus Alonso on 0.8, and Tom Heaton on 0.7.
Oh, I misunderstood the question massively.
Again, I'm disappointed in you boys.
But Ash won, so he doesn't care. He's very happy.
He's right. Next question. Three statements. One of these is from Tom. One of these is not. The other is definitely not. I've realized that rather than moan about how much I hate Facebook and everyone on it, I should just deactivate my account. It makes more sense. Or I've deleted my Facebook page and I'm officially done promoting it now. I hated it. You hated it. Let's all move on. Or made a Facebook page to flog my show tickets. It feels like I'm selling out, but I have to do something. It's not like you pricks were buying any.
It has to be. Is this me, isn't it? It has to be the third one. It has to be. Because he did only do it to sell his solo show, Die Doing What You Love, at Leicester Square Theatre. So it has to be that one.
Is correct. Tom did make a Facebook page and I'm very disappointed in him.
How did you find such similar tweets on the other ones?
Oh, they're all Tom Holmes. That was the key here today. All three of them were Tom Holmes today.
Fair enough. That makes sense. So,
in fairness, like, I don't know what it is, but Tom has this real thing. I didn't know this until, you know, I did 30 minutes of research yesterday, but Tom has this real thing against Facebook.
Oh, he hates it.
Oh, I never said something about it.
Or face space book, as he likes to spell it.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Like calling it the Google. When we first did the podcasts, like on episode 3 or 4, Tom accidentally makes a joke that isn't even a joke, where he says like, yeah, so I type, we were like, well, you need to go on, let's say eBay as an example. We're like, well, you need to go on eBay to do it. And he went, yeah, so you type eBay into Google. And we're like, no, just go onto eBay. And he didn't understand the concept of going onto a website without putting it in Google first. He's a very technically special lad.
Oh, right. Next one. Ash, statement one. How come wolves are still here if dogs evolved from them? Or I've always trusted the judgment of the Chinese.
It's just
only two for this one. Yep, only two.
But the wolves one sounds really familiar. But Tom is quite racist, so I'm going to go for B.
It's correct. Tom has always trusted the Chinese since 2014, where he received a fortune cookie which said, "You will appear on TV in the next year."
Oh, there you go. He's such an idiot.
It is all good. Honestly, I feel like I've lost part of my life doing this. Next question, on to Craig. This is blankety blank. Today, I went to the blank and realized that now I really want to work at the blank. Clue, it's not a caravan park.
Right. I'm going to say, today I went to the... Oh, I don't know. Today I went to the pub?
Is incorrect. This was... in 2015, where today Tom went to the zoo and realized he really wants to work at the zoo.
I was going to say fun fair, but I thought it was too fun for him.
It's far too fun for him. Trust me, I've read his tweets. It's far too fun. Blankety blank for Ash. Ash, you're one. I fucking love blank. I actually have the DVD and a book.
Tom's read a book? Oh, this is the kind of shit that Craig would know. Fucking love. Oh, something. It's going to be a 90s film. Jurassic Park?
Is incorrect. It was actually River Cottage.
What the fuck?
Where back in 2012, Tom actually did say, "I fucking love River Cottage. I actually have the DVD and a book." Next question.
That's brilliant.
This one, if you get this, I will be genuinely impressed. Craig, Tom tweeting? Mate, I don't think people can see your tweets when you tweet them unless they follow you because you've logged your account.
When is it? Does it say? Okay. Do you know who I hope it is? I hope it's someone really famous that he now hates. I hope he's tweeting. It's either going to be to me or Ricky Gervais. I'm going to say Ricky Gervais.
Is incorrect. This was actually Tom tweeting Brian Harvey from East 17.
I
don't know the context. I don't know why, but that's what he was doing.
He's the biggest E17 fan ever.
Brian Harvey is genuinely like his hero.
Yeah, he loves E17. I wish I guessed that.
So, Ash, who is Tom tweeting? Wondered what transfers I should make. I have 2 feet and 2.3 million in the bank. Many thanks.
Who's Tom tweeting?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Is it the fantasy football surgery?
<It is not.
laughs> Can you imagine he's going elsewhere to get tips because he doesn't get enough stimulation from us?
I'm going to have to press you, Ash.
Fantasy Yamar
is incorrect. Tom was actually tweeting himself at the gaffer tips, to which he then responded to himself.
What
can I say? I don't make this shit up. It's actually there and it's out there. So, final question of the 10 for Craig. Tom Holmes talks his book each year on National Book Day. Name that book.
Easy. Evolution of Men.
Is correct. Well done.
Available. Still available at no bookstores.
Well, you say that. Over to Ashley. Ash, your question. Tom Holmes released Evolution of Men, the game, in 2011. It currently has 2 reviews online. For 1 point, name any of the 2 people who have left a review.
So it's currently 3-3 in questions, so this would win it. Shit, somebody, he thanked somebody, one of the Gafferazzi, for buying his book the other week. I'm going to go for Timmy Wallace Brady.
Is incorrect.
I got one of them, definitely.
Go for it.
One of the reviews is from a book lover. She's very well known throughout the book world just for loving books. Is an unbiased review called Kelly Vessi. And I believe she left a review.
Correct.
Oh, God, that's obvious.
She's better known as Kelly Hans.
Who was the one genuine review by then?
I don't know, some woman called Rosie. But, I mean, either or would have worked.
Oh, God, I thought they were all right, I see.
So what was that? Did I finish 3-0?
Did.
Annoyingly, yeah.
Well, it's time for a bit of a favourite question then.
Nice.
Oh, this, you're already one step ahead of Tom.
I was thinking this. So we can do this 2 ways. I can do a quick fire question round, or I can just give you 1 question, say it all, that's it. It's 1 question. Craig takes a guess, Ash takes a guess, I'm done.
Yeah, okay. Do that.
Right, it's Fast and Furious at the ready money round. Ahead of game week 36, how many of the 4.5 million FPL teams have bought Zlatan this week?
Oh my God, people bought Zlatan. I'm going to say, do you know my guess? I'm going to say 108,000 idiots then.
Whoa.
108,000.
No, I'm going lower. 108,000?
I'm just thinking of maybe that's percentage-wise, there's that amount of morons.
Oh, fuck. No, it's got to be 5,000.
Correct answer as of 9 o'clock this morning was 36. Ashley, you are the winner.
Ah, oh, that's still too many idiots, though, isn't it?
That's still mad.
That's still a lot of
is
idiots.
Is he not showing up as red?
Oh, yeah. He's very red.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, but you think about a percentage of what, 36 over 4.5 million?
That's what I was trying to do in my head, you know, maths and shit.
Well, I'm personally delighted that I haven't actually killed the quiz then before the end of the season. And you guys,
no, it was good. I enjoyed it much more than most Toms. He won't listen this far. I'll be fine. It was very good actually. And it, you know, Ash actually won one, so that was good. And there was a tiebreaker already prepared, and you didn't go over. You didn't ask us what you should do, which is what Tom tends to do. So that's always quite a good sign.
Well, in fairness, I said to Tom, "What should I do?" He says, "Oh yeah, yeah, just make it up."
Yeah, that sounds about right. That is the usual poor quality of the quiz. So well done, though. Good. Ash likes a quiz. That's all right.
I'd just like to thank, obviously, Don Monaghan for taking part, Eamon Holmes,
sure.
Tom Hatz, Tom Carroll,
yeah.
Tom Holmes, the other Tom Holmes, and the other Tom Holmes.
All the Toms.
It was awesome. Thank you.
Well, that was a very good quiz. Ash has brought it back to within, I think, 2 now. I'm not sure Tom has the score, but we leave that to him. That is all we have got time for this week, actually, as we go into game week 36, and then only a couple left. So remember to tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes. You can tweet us your hashtag balls of your team before it goes live. Remember, it's a Friday night game, so please remember the deadline. And have a read of my blog as it comes up on Fantasy Umar, and obviously the game week review. Glad you haven't already. Remember to join the league. Like Ash said earlier, you can still actually join our league, encourage it. The league members don't, but we think it's quite funny, so feel free to do that. And of course, if you don't already follow Ryan and Fantasy Your Ma, and what's the Twitter, Ryan? Obviously it's quite self-explanatory, but it's better coming from you.
Fantasy Your Ma, Y-I-R-M-A, not my ma, your ma.
Everybody's ma. Fantasy Y-I-R-M-A. Have a look at that. It's a great fantasy account. If I do say having, you know, guest blogs for it for a while. And obviously follow at the Gaffer Tapes, and email any questions you have at info@thegaffertapes.com. That's what we've got time for. Ash, any final thoughts?
No, nothing.
No, Ash has got literally nothing to say. He's on a quiz. He's speechless. That is it. But we just want to say a massive thank you to Ryan. Thanks, buddy, for coming on again and saving us in one of our absences. I'm sure the last time, and hopefully we haven't scared you off coming back on again, so thanks very much.
Absolute pleasure.
For all you listeners, we'll hear from you next week. Good luck in the game week. Let us know how you get on, but for now, that's all we've got time for, so thank you and goodbye.